Today on Jay Sekulow Live, the economic impact of COVID-19 on the American people as the stimulus goes live today and online. And of course, we've got partisan Democrats on Capitol Hill starting yet another witch hunt. We'll talk about it all today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Obviously, today with economic numbers out, we wanted to get into some of those details. We're also going to have another one of those state official briefings, this time out of Ohio later in the podcast. We've talked to officials in Florida. We've talked to officials in West Virginia. We're going to talk to some in Ohio as well who are working on the legislative aspect of this at the state level. It's to give you kind of these overviews this week of what it's like, not just federally, but the state level. But listen, I mean, let's hit the hard facts. We've got nearly 10 million Americans who have filed for unemployment in the last 2 weeks alone. The payroll plunge is 700,000 people in March, and that is just kind of a snapshot. That doesn't give you the full scope because, again, we know the unemployment is more like 10 million who are filing. The unemployment rate as of right now is at already 4.4%. They're predicting that to be at 15% and maybe even as high as 30% as this goes on. Now, the stimulus programs go live today online. So at SBA.gov, the loan programs, there's always issues when these first start.
There are some already.
Yeah, with banks that are balking at this. And should you be laying off your employees instead of trying to get the loan to keep them on payroll and all those questions?
Yeah, so some of the banks are trying to give advice to their clients, to their companies, saying, you know, you'd be better off, even though this sounds like a good package, you would be better off limiting your exposure by laying off personnel, which is not exactly the opposite of what we're trying to do with this stimulus. So, but I think you got to understand that there is this thought out there that exists that that would be the safer approach for some businesses. Now, some businesses have already done it. I think the number was 130,000 for Macy's. Kohl's was 80,000. There was another big box retailer that just announced. And I think this is the reality of what it's kind of the moment we live in. So each business has have to make these decisions yourself. I think the goal should be to try to maintain personnel. I mean, I keep saying the job as a CEO, even for us here, is to work hard on everything you can do, but try to protect your employees as well. Because what you don't want is this ripple effect in the economy. And we're hopeful that we get through this or get past this over, say, the next, you know, 3 months or so, and then things will get to some sense of whatever the new normal is. But, you know, I was just checking this morning, Jordan, like on the Supreme Court, they still have on the docket. Now, this is where
the little sister's case and all that.
Yeah, the April arguments are still listed as arguing, and you know that's not happening.
Yeah, I mean,
So they need to issue an order that says, look, for those, because they did this for us in March, now it's only the second day of April, but these arguments are in 2 or 3 weeks, a little less than 3 weeks. Just give the lawyers, you know, that are preparing for this, the reality is I cannot imagine the Supreme Court sitting on April 20th.
No, I mean, so this is the difficult thing. I mean, in Washington, D.C., they are still balking at trying to change the way they vote, too. They're saying the Senate says we're going to keep the way, and we know more legislation is likely coming. We'll need to come to fill holes that weren't in the initial legislation, also on infrastructure and legislative items like that. So as we take people's questions today at 1-800-684-3110, Washington on Congress is trying to work the same old way.
Yeah, a lot of resistance to changes, Jordan, and I feel the same way that your dad does about these changes. I mean, look, this is reality. They're going to come back on April 20th, and they're saying that's when a round four is going to be necessary. Jordan, it is not going to be safe on April 24th for both of those chambers to be filled with 535 members of Congress. They're going to have to face reality and find a way to make these changes and do their work remotely.
Yeah, I mean, they need to do their work. They are the people's representative. They need to do it. But they need to do it in the best way possible, most effective way possible. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Your questions, your comments, and of course, partisanship is rearing its ugly head. We talked about that yesterday. We've got more information about that for you. They want two committees now to investigate the president. Two committees, one by Schiff, one by Pelosi, led by Clyburn. We'll talk about that when we get back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I want to take Robert's call in Maryland on line one. The president has used the language again, a witch hunts, and more political hoaxes, even during this time when our country and the whole world is going through and facing this pandemic, the economic consequences people are facing. Well, of course, politics rears its ugly head and partisanship. Robert calling from Maryland. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. What specifically is the witch hunt that the Democrats are engaging again against President Trump? And what could be motivating it, particularly during a time of a national crisis such as a pandemic of the coronavirus?
Well, this would be the third Mueller report. It's a way to go
volume after, four, actually. Call
yeah,
it.
Volume four, really. I mean, if you go through the two volumes of Mueller, but so what? There's two committees.
Two
now.
Volumes we've of now Mueller, Ukraine,
out,
and now this.
We've now found out there's two committees. They want. Nancy Pelosi wants one that would have to be voted on by the House, by the way. They'd have to approve this select committee. She wants it led by Jim Clyburn,
who said,
by the way, endorsed Joe Biden. So he's directly involved in this case.
Who also said, yes. Wasn't it Clyburn who said, hey, you take advantage of a moment like this,
yep.
And this way you can get things you want and reshape the country.
Said a pandemic is, quote, gives the Democrats, quote, a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision. This committee would overlook how the spending was done because they've got some concerns about the corporate side of this spending, which is actually the smaller side of this stimulus side when you're talking about the big corporations. And then Adam Schiff wants a second committee, of course, focusing on the intelligence side. That would mean him.
Right.
To look at this when the pandemic is over, as I said, because I think most of them believe President Trump still will get reelected and they would like to try and figure out a way to impeach him again.
Keep the lawyers
busy. I'm not
busy.
Kidding about
I
that.
Know. No,
this
real.
Is not a joke. I see that as a direct move to try and come up with another reason to pass articles of impeachment against President Trump if Democrats retain control of the House after the November elections.
All right, let's do this. I'd like to get Harry Hutchison involved. Yeah. He's a director of policy. He's a law and economics professor. Harry, thanks for calling in. Your sense of where the economy is right now?
Well, the economy is in a bit of a free fall. Yesterday we got news that employers were cutting an additional 700,000 jobs in March. The unemployment rate is expected to jump up to between 12 and 16% by this summer. This could mean that the United States will have lost almost 28 million jobs, perhaps by the end of May of this year. Second, stocks have ended their worst quarter in 12 years, and this is a global phenomenon as investors indiscriminately flee assets ranging from stocks to commodities, including an extremely sharp decline in oil prices. The market has been marked by extreme volatility. Third, central banks led by the Fed have been forced into emergency interventions designed to boost liquidity and credit markets. The yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note, which affects everything from mortgage rates to student loans, fell by 1.2 percentage points to 0.7% over the course of this past quarter.
You know, Harry, one of the things I thought about, because banks are already, Jordan mentioned this earlier, some banks are advising their clients to not take the stimulus package because that by having to continue their operations to meet the requirements so that the loan actually is basically becomes a grant, you have to do certain things, including keeping employment, keep operations. There are banks, and I don't think they're doing this in a dishonest way, advising their clients that that may not be in their best interest.
I think that is...
In other words, taking the money for the short term may not serve their long-term interests if we're in this position for, say, 6 months.
I think that is true, in part because some of the provisions in the CARES Act suggest that the forgiveness provisions, will only apply to money spent during the first 8 weeks of a loan. Secondly, the employers, in order to receive forgiveness, they have to maintain their staffing and compensation levels. And so there are some provisions which would be triggered by the CARES Act, which would make it impossible to recoup or forgive the loan, meaning that these businesses would still be on the hook. So that is propelling, I believe, some employers to go ahead, forego the provisions of the CARES Act and lay off employees. In addition, of course, there's always the bureaucracy which can impede and delay the advancement of the funds that people are applying for as we speak. So early this morning, by about 8:30, several hundred million dollars worth of loans were already being processed, and probably by the end of today, the amount of loans processed will exceed perhaps several billion dollars. But the other thing that I would suggest is the large banks have not necessarily been as adept and light on their feet as the smaller banks. And so that is another impediment to getting these funds out.
There's another issue here. I'm talking to companies, CEOs of various industries, medical, technical, a whole host. And what they're saying is, and I tend to disagree with this, but I think it's industry specific. I think the immediate goal is to try to get through the next 8 weeks, right? Try to get through the next eight weeks of keeping your employees in place and doing that. There are some industries that were hurting before this. For instance, Macy's, retail sector, Boeing, that they have to restructure. And I think even with some of these smaller businesses, the banks are saying you're about to do this, but you really need to be restructuring.
Yeah, restructuring. I mean, possibly even filing kind of bankruptcy for restructured programming. And that those are going to be also, Harry, that likely this is going to be a good time to do that. And that, that the bank is more involved in those kind of programs. And so, again, I think these are the kind of questions. We have these kind of questions coming in. I think we should go to the question that people are asking about this. I mean, so, for instance, Susan in West Virginia on line two. Susan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for all you do. I've never realized how important your work is until this recent pandemic. My question is, we are a parent-run booster organization for a high school show choir. Someone was telling me that we as a nonprofit should apply for the SBA loan, which could turn into a grant.
Yeah.
But I was trying to find out somewhere I know with the churches, it had to be used towards payroll or rent. Because of COVID-19 and the stay-at-home place put in our area, we had to cancel our competition that we host. That is basically what funds our program.
Yeah. Do you have any staff, Susan? Do you have any employees?
No. I mean, our director, I mean, she works for the school system, but technically she's the only employee. Everything else is parent, volunteer.
It's going to, Fan, the way I see that, be tough, because it's the idea here is to keep people in personnel. The fact that you're not going to be able to do fundraising, while I really hate that that's happened, that's not what this is designed to protect.
Fan? Yeah, a couple of things, Jay. First of all, for the loans to convert to grants that are forgiven, they do have to be used for qualified expenses, payroll, mortgage interest, rent payments, leases, utility service agreements. So you definitely want to make that calculation. But Jay, I do think it's really important to address this. I think some businesses are being scared away from taking these loans because they think that they're going to have to keep employees a lot longer than the coverage allows for. Jay, that's not how it's going to work. They're going to take this loan. They're going to have to keep employees on for 8 weeks. At the end of those 8 weeks, which is what the funds are meant to cover, that loan will be forgiven at that point. Jay, at that time, I think there will be additional stimulus, additional support available. But if they're not, the business can then make a decision after that point to shift course. So I don't want people to be prematurely scared away from taking this assistance. I think it's actually been thought out in a pretty good fashion.
Yeah, we're going to have Professor Hutchinson. We're getting a lot of calls on this. So I'm going to have Professor Hutchinson stay on with us for the next segment. But I'm going to tell you something, that this is, you know, I've advised a lot of big corporations over my career and practice, still do, and these are tough decisions. I mean, these are really hard decisions. But I think what Dan said is right. Let's focus right now on the next 2 weeks. Let's focus on the next 2 weeks. If your company qualifies for this package and you can keep your employees employed, that will help the country overall in this pandemic. Then at the end of that two months, then let's, you know, like Dan said, either there will be some additional benefits or there won't be. And at that point, you make the decisions. But I know that's hard, but I think we've got to be, I don't think we can be planning 6 months out right now.
No, I don't think that's the case. I think you got to plan for the survival right now. You got 2 months, you know, this 8-week period where you can do what the government says and then kind of reassess from there. I think that's an answer back to the bank. Says, hey, this is an 8-week period to grant, so this loan becomes a grant, and then we can reassess from there. So, and again, we're going to follow this closely as this rollout begins day two. We want to hear from you as well. If you're applying for these loans, how is the system working for you? We'll be right back and again, follow us, ACLJ.org. Filed a new case in Ohio on these abortion clinics that are trying to stay open. As essential businesses, we are filing there in the Sixth Circuit, ACLJ.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We continue to take your phone calls, your questions, as now these loans are being processed today. Steve Mnuchin said already 700 plus small business loans were processed already. So the system is going through, it is working at the SBA.gov website. But there is a lot of confusing questions about this. You know, people are consulting their financial advisors, they're consulting their banks, and we get a lot of questions about it as well. In fact, let's go. This is an interesting question from Clint in Kentucky. Small business owner, line five. Clint, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yep.
Hey, Clint. Thank you, brother. God bless y'all for everything y'all do. Yep. So I own a tattoo and piercing salon here in Bowling Green, and each employee is subcontracted. Would I be able to apply for them to be able to stay on board and get paid so they wouldn't have to do unemployment? Or since they're actually self-employed, would they each individually have to apply?
Well, you would not be able to apply to have them continue on your payroll because they're not on your payroll. You pay them as an independent contractor. Now, let me ask this question: when someone places an order, do they go through? Do they pay you or do they pay the artist?
They pay me as the business,
and then you pay the artist
on percentage. Yes, pay them.
Okay, and you issue a 1099.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're not employees. Harry, I don't think that would qualify. What do you think, Harry?
I think your analysis is precisely correct. They would be seen as an independent contractor within the meaning of IRS regulations, and as a consequence, they could apply, for instance, if they are laid off, perhaps for unemployment through their state, but the individual who works to sell the artwork would not necessarily be able to pay them.
Now, Jordan, they do qualify. They will be getting, if they've been filing taxes, making less than the thresholds,
they'll get the initial stimulus checks. And you might be getting that too, Clint. So that check also is available to you. So that's the $1,200. And then, is there anything there, Harry, anything in this for Clint so he could continue to pay rent? So he could pay his mortgage while the business is closed.
Under the provisions of the CARES Act, small businesses can include mortgage payments, payments of interest on any covered mortgage obligations, payments of rent, payments on utilities, for instance. Those things are covered potentially with respect to the loan program as part of the Paycheck Protection Program. And so I would urge him to look into that either through the SBA, which is probably inundated today, or through his local bank.
Yeah. Than, you had something you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, Jay, I just wanted people to understand that the reason that this is a tiered approach, there's the stimulus checks, which just about everybody gets. There's the Small Business Administration loans to try to keep people on payroll. And then there's the dramatic expansion of the unemployment insurance for people that aren't able to be kept on payroll. Jay, the intention was never that everybody would get all three of those components, but they were layered in there so that everyone would get something to try to ease the pain here. So just because you don't qualify in one particular place, I want people to understand that they were layered in so that you would get something in one faction or another. So don't be discouraged if you don't get one piece of it. There's another piece of it that probably does apply to you.
All right, let's go ahead and let's try to get another call. And let's keep Harry staying with us, right? Yeah, we continue this. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, let's go to Tom in California. Interesting question on line four. Tom, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I need your help. The local broadcasters, the TV broadcasters in Southern California, are interrupting and discontinuing the Washington briefing from the task force on the coronavirus. So it prevents me, in particular, from getting firsthand information as to what's going on in this national crisis.
All right, so do you have cable? Tom?
No, I do not. I do not have cable, and I do not have internet, and I do not have a smartphone. I'm talking on a flip phone.
Okay, because C-SPAN is covering them top to bottom. But what's happening is the networks, and even the cable networks, including Fox, are staying in there for a little while, and they're pulling out. I mean, they're
back and forth. We're
going back and forth. And that's where were you getting the briefings before? On your local TV?
Yes, on the local TV channels, and I've noticed them periodically.
Yeah, they can't continue. Here's why. Let me tell you the problem they have. The problem they have, Tom, is they can't sell commercials during that time because they're taking a block of 2.5 hours, and they're trying to stay in business too. And I know this is difficult, but we're on 1,000 radio stations. We are on TV. We are on all the social media platforms, and radio and TV advertising is drying up right now. It's a problem. So for a local station to say we're going to block out 2.5 hours, not have commercials, not have breaks. I mean, Harry, this is where the repercussions of this are real.
Absolutely. And in addition to what you've just said, the hotel industry has been decimated. The travel industry has been decimated. On the other hand, I would say, Jay, there is a glimmer of hope, and that comes from so-called essential businesses, supermarkets and grocery stores, big box stores, pharmacies. All of those essential businesses are beginning to hire individuals. So Walmart, for instance, is planning to hire 150,000 hourly associates to meet increased demand during the coronavirus outbreak. Instacart is planning to hire up to 300,000 yeah. individuals. So there are some other economic opportunities, but part of what's going on, of course, is businesses are taking advantage of this crisis to restructure their operations. And so some of the retail stores like Macy's and these other stores, they are shrinking. On the other hand, so-called essential businesses are beginning to expand.
I was going to also tell Clint that get rid of the flip phone, get a phone that can handle data, because Stan, as you said, the press conference are being streamed on a zillion sites.
Yeah.
Ben?
I think during this time that's great advice, Jay, because look, there are going to be restrictions from typical news sources, but you can get him all over the place online, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, all different sorts of places. And by the way, it's also a great place to follow a broadcast like the one we're showing you here. So I think that's good advice during this time, Jay.
You don't have to have internet access. Those phones now have high enough speed to carry live video with just the phone service. So, I mean, I think you just have to adapt to what we're situations. You cannot rely on the old means of communication. You cannot rely, as Harry said, on the old means of employment. I did it today, Dad, on the way in. I stopped at a Walgreens quickly. They had a couple items I needed. They had a few things I didn't. I was thinking on the way home, I have a mask. I have one mask because I have the designated person in our house that's going out right now as we come into the studio and things like that. And I decided, you know, instead of stopping by the grocery store on the way home, which is a busier place, and if I had to, you know, with young children, I would. But I ordered on Postmates on the way in, and it's already at the house. Order what I needed. So, I mean, those kind of jobs Harry's talking about, Postmates, Instacart has got a 2-day delay right now. They're actually not doing deliveries until Monday if you order today. They need to staff up. And as they say, they are staffing up. And you can do these jobs in your community. And right now, people are actually tipping more than usual. They're offering more.
If you can afford, do it.
So, I mean, I think if you're young enough to do that job, it's a great way to start getting cash in your pocket immediately, pretty quickly. And not having to travel far from home. Again, 1-800-684-3110, second half hour coming up. ACLJ.org, case out in the Sixth Circuit now. We filed the Fifth and Sixth Circuit against Planned Parenthood to keep these abortion clinics closed during this epidemic.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So I think, you know, it is a good sign in a sense that these services, delivery services, I use Postmates, I use Instacart, I use Shipt. Shipt is about a day out from right now. It's usually about, so you could do it for like the next day. Postmates is usually immediate. That's a little bit higher service. You can pay for unlimited delivery.
What do they do?
They will go anywhere for anything, okay. And it's usually within 30, 40 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, so you kind of have to give them the grocery list. You have to be a little bit more direct with them, but it's all still done through your smartphone. The Walmart services, we're hearing from people on our Facebook, like the one where you come in and park and they put it in your trunk. That's up to a week right now, and you've got to like book it in the middle of the night. One good sign from all of that, well, there's two, I think. One is people are social distancing.
Very
because
important.
Because those would not all be backed up. Because let me tell you something. 2 weeks ago, these services, you could schedule anytime you wanted still, and whenever you wanted. You know, Amazon Prime is no more for right now.
Right.
We don't have that guaranteed two-day delivery anymore. It usually works
30 minutes.
Out.
Yeah.
The same day is usually booked up as well for a couple of days out or more. But the second part of that is there are job opportunities in that market to be part of that, to work in that field. And those are jobs you kind of click on and start working. And you can work as much or as little as you want and put some cash in your pocket. 1-800-684-3110. Let's get to some more of the calls I think Harry can help us with, too. Stacy in New Mexico on Live 5. Stacy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been getting conflicting information about the stimulus concerning dependents and kids
right.
in college.
Yep.
And I've heard that the kids in college, because they're adults, should file their own taxes, and they'll get a $1,200. And then I've heard that they're considered dependents if you claim them as dependents.
Well, if you claim, let's break it down. I want to break it and stay on the line because we're going to come back to you on this. So let's go to Fan first, then Harry. College students that are dependents are not going to do not receive the money if they're over
That's
the
correct.
Age of 16.
If they are claimed as dependents on their parents' forms, they would not be able to file on their own. Now, Jay, look, this is a situation where I think a tax professional should actually look at it because there is still time to file your 2019 taxes and get that considered. Now, I can't say in this particular situation whether that would make sense or not.
Yeah.
Right, but if they are listed on the most recent form that the IRS uses as a dependent on their parents' form, they would not be eligible for the stimulus.
And so, they are not eligible either for the child extra $500 for the
correct.
For the child dependents. That's at six. That so, cuts off at 16.
But Stacy, so are you still claiming that you still claim the dependent, the college students as a dependent?
Yeah, we did this year on taxes because we already did our taxes.
Yeah, then you did. Harry, I'm right on that, right? They would not qualify.
That's my understanding, Jay. So I think your analysis.
Yeah, I mean, look, this thing is not a panacea. It doesn't fix everything.
No,
you will be getting
this. About fixes. They are talking about where they found some holes like this. I saw it yesterday where Congress was figuring out, and it was on, you know, Fox Business was talking about it, this exact issue of college students. Yes, by the way, there's a lot of loan issues for college student loans. Again, so there's a lot of benefits that were provided to college students in this. There are some holes, as there always are with these big pieces of legislation, and they can be filled. Now, you can kind of see where the issues are after round one of this working and say, okay, where do people still need assistance? And listen, if this goes on, where people are going to need assistance is their kids may still be going to school, but they may be doing it online. How are they? How should they be? You know, structuring this. How should they be financially structured?
I think you have to talk to your tax professionals about that, whether it's your CPA or your tax lawyer, because these are questions that are going to be affected by your individual returns.
Yeah, and listen, it's going to be a lot for college students. There's not going to be as many jobs they can do. It's not like the service industry jobs, other than those like delivery type jobs. The waiter jobs, the jobs that, you know, those short-term jobs, they're not going to be there probably this summer.
It'll be tough. And, I mean, I think that summer's going to be – I don't expect a full rebound this summer.
No, and so –
I don't
and
think anybody is. They started canceling summer events. By the way, the DNC moved its
– all the way to August. That's hopeful.
Hopeful. The Republicans were in August, but who knows?
Yeah, so we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Go to ACLJ.org as well. Stay updated with us on all the issues we're working on.
Thank you.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Jordan Sekulow. I was just watching actually a television ad from Volkswagen. And it was just interesting to see how their advertising, just car dealerships are still open, and they have to be because people need service on their cars. They're kind of deemed, it could be essential, of course, to deliver things, and people need to be able to move around. But like what Volkswagen is offering now, and I think this happened from a lot, is 180 days before you make your first payment. 6 months.
Yeah.
That's six. I mean, that is
and
six.
Low interest or no interest?
No interest and 6 months until you make your first payment.
So, well, those are the ways to try.
And I know
these
that's
are creative
to
ways to get, stimulate the economy
because they at least have something on their books coming 6 months from now. Realize that.
Yeah.
That's where. So that to me tells, you know, when we're looking at all this, and for people who are looking at this, think about how these big corporations like a Volkswagen, and they're looking 6 months down the road before they think you're going to be able to make a payment. Before they can make some profit, and they're trying to do what they can to keep their dealerships alive and keep their inventory flowing. Let's go to the phones. Dan in Michigan on line four. Dan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Dan.
God bless you, gentlemen. Thank
Thanks.
You for everything you do for people.
Sure.
My question is, me and my wife filed our taxes, and we should get a stimulus check.
Right.
What I'm hearing is, though, is the following year when we get, if we get a refund, the government's going to get that stimulus check back.
No.
Is that true?
No, it's not. The stimulus check is a stimulus check. It's not taxable. It's not subject to recall. If you qualify for, if in your household, husband and wife, do you file jointly?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if you make less than $150,000,
$190,000,
excuse me, jointly, you will get the two checks, which would be $2,500.
Yeah, the $2,400. Is it $2,600?
What they end up doing? What is the $1,250 or
so? $1,200 per adult, $500 per
That's
eligible
right,
child.
Kids,
so
right.
Family, right? Family
yeah.
of four
so
would be
$2,400. You have minor children?
No, sir.
Okay, so it's $2,400,
and that's it.
I mean, that's it. You get it. They're going to directly deposit it.
You decide how you want to use
bank.
It.
And I want to go to Harry on this because Harry, the idea with the stimulus is to keep people if you're working is to keep the economy moving here. If you're getting the stimulus and you're still employed, they want it in the economy, or at least as a protection, or that's the idea
right.
here.
The idea is precisely to continue individuals' ability to purchase goods and services going forward. It's very possible, I think Fan is correct, that in the next 3, 4, 5 weeks, the government will need to re-examine this. But there's really a tiered approach to virtually help every single individual and business in the economy through various programs, because really what the objective is to ensure that the United States economy doesn't implode while we deal with this pandemic. At the same time, I would point out that there is a glimmer of hope coming out of countries like Italy. The number of confirmed cases is continuing to drop. In Bucks County in Pennsylvania, they've reported a decrease in the number of cases. In Washington State and Maryland and other states, they are reporting that they are not approaching a crisis point in terms of hospital beds. So it is possible that by the middle of the summer, or perhaps within the next couple of weeks, that good news will begin to trump the bad news that we are dealing with currently.
All right, very good. Thanks, Harry. All right, let's grab another call. Look, here's our goal over the next 2 weeks for you. We're going to answer as many questions about this as we can. And you're going to hear, and we're going to take some of the programs, we're going to take the best questions that have been asked over the last 2 weeks, put it together for you, broadcast it, so you have the answers to this. Now, we can't give you individual tax or legal advice, but we're giving you general principles that you at least can have an intelligent conversation with your accountant or tax lawyer.
Or your bank, so you can go to the next level with this.
Exactly.
Henry in Ohio, Alive 5. Henry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Henry.
Yes, thanks, Jay, and all you guys. God bless you for your work, and God bless the United States. We just had a church board meeting earlier this week in regards to the CARES Act and how it affects churches, 501c3s. The biggest concern that our congregation and our church board has is that if we accept this and apply for the loan, don't lay anybody off, and it is forgivable, does that place us under the anti-discrimination laws versus what the Bible preaches against?
It does not.
Et cetera, et cetera.
It does not. It does not interfere with the tenets of your faith. It does not interfere with the positions that any religious order or organization or denomination would take. So there's not what we would call condition precedence. In other words, if you take this money or a condition subsequent, you know, to apply for this money, you have to do this, condition precedent. If you take this money, you must do that, condition subsequent. Those don't exist here. The idea is to keep, this is not to do social engineering. This is to keep your church functioning. That's what the administration's trying to do. That's what Congress is trying to do.
Thank you. In a way, a gift to churches from the small business.
Yes, because normally this wouldn't happen.
Any nonprofits, including religious organizations and churches especially, would be excluded from any of these kind of programs.
Fan, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, this is really important, Jay, and you and Jordan both said it correctly. I've been on the phone with Leader Scalise's office this morning. He is working very hard to make sure this gets applied correctly. And look, some of the banks are not going to be familiar with this because of what Jordan just said. A typical Small Business Administration loan, a religious eligibility worksheet would apply. It does not apply to this stimulus. Jay, just let me quickly read this. Only two conditions apply for this loan. Number one, whether the borrower was operational on February 15th. And number two, whether the borrower was paying salaries and payroll taxes at that time. And I'll just follow up real quickly. Treasury got this right. I've got the application in my hand right now. The very first box at the top that you check is a place for nonprofits, including churches, to apply for this. Only those two conditions apply under the statute.
Yeah, so Henry, I would not, and I'm a religious liberty advocate, I would not be concerned. I think you're fine.
No,
keep your church functioning.
Yeah, that is the intention of this, is to
keep your staff employed.
Religious
That's the goal
organizations
there.
Ready to go, as many have had to go online and, you know, do their services.
And I know tithing and gifts are off to churches because people aren't there. So trying to help this and keep your staff employed. All right, let's grab another call.
Yep, 1-800-684-3110. Eric in New Mexico on line 3. Eric, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, guys. Thanks for everything you do. I'm a big fan of you. My question is, I'm a veteran and I have a child, but I don't pay taxes. am I still going to be eligible?
Yeah, I think you. I think, Sam, my understanding is if you filed a tax return last year, did you file a tax return last year?
No, I don't pay taxes at all.
Well, if you don't pay taxes at all, you're still eligible. Yeah, you're going to get it. You're just not going to get a direct deposit.
There is a chance, Jay, depending on if the
you have to fill,
IRS
just like a two-page form you got to fill out with the
exactly.
IRS. Go ahead, Fan.
Exactly.
Welcome through it.
No, that's what I was going to say. There may be you may not be in the IRS's system, but there will be a portal. Secretary Mnuchin talked about this today. You may have to file a very brief form, but you are eligible for the stimulus check.
So Eric, that'll help. Look out for that. And again, that should be available at irs.gov soon. The form for those who are not in the system already, but you are eligible to receive these monies. So talk about some of the politics as well. Patty in California on line 6 been holding on. Patty, welcome in. Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Jay. Thank you. Sure. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yep.
My family and everybody I talk to about this, and everybody's talking about it. Isn't there a law to protect our president from people trying to take over our government or trying to take him out?
It's called elections. That's the law. And look, there's been a couple of attempts to take the president out. I would know. I handled them. And they were not successful.
Pretty serious ones, though.
Yeah, and they were serious. I mean, you had a 2.5-year investigation by a special counsel, Bob Mueller. He had a Volume 1 and a Volume 2. Then you had Ukraine, which I called Volume 3, which ended up in an acquittal and an impeachment proceeding. And now you've got the potential for a Volume 4. But you know what we got to do right now? We got to get through this pandemic. And, you know, even if the Democrats are saying all this nonsense, we're going to report it. We did. But you know what? Our focus can't be on that. Our focus has to be on it. For the ACLJ, we filed a brief for the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday. Today. Fifth Circuit was yesterday. And what we're trying to do on our broadcasts is provide as much information to you to help you, our listeners and members, to understand what you're entitled to under this relief, what you're not entitled to under this relief, so that we can move this forward as a country. And look, we're about, 13, 14 days away from what is, probably going to be the peak in some parts. I think peaks are coming after. So we got to just be prepared for this. All right, we'll be back with more in a moment. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. I want to thank Professor Hutchinson for being with us. Harry, give me a 15-second here. When you're looking at it from an economic standpoint, what kind of window? This is a 2-month window that they did the stimulus. Is that the right way to look at it right now?
I think it is, but I also think that the federal government will probably need to make an interim move between now and the end of May, let's say, in order to make sure that the guardrails with respect to the economy stay and that we move upward.
All right. Appreciate that, Harry. I appreciate your comments on this. Thanks for being with us.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your calls, but we have a special guest joining us today, like we have done throughout this week, from Florida, from West Virginia, now from Ohio, state officials, people working different aspects of state government and how they've been responding to COVID-19. And today we've got Don Parsons, another good friend of mine, deputy legal counsel for the Ohio State Senate. They've been having to deal with this at the state level, with state laws. Remember, that's going on as well, simultaneously with what the federal government's doing. States are also taking action. And by the way, Don also has worked for the ACLJ. Right. And Don, your state also is involved in these cases to protect life and with the Planned Parenthood filing against you, because you were one of the first states in Ohio to say no, that abortion clinics are not essential businesses for purposes of these shutdowns. Don, it's great to have you on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Tell us about that first. It's a very pro-life government you've had in Ohio, and you've been on the front lines of a lot of these battles, willing to go to court over the issues. And oftentimes, Ohio is the first one sued. This time, I think it was the second state sued. We're involved in this now at the Sixth Circuit, but there's a lot of support for this pro-life legislation and pro-life. And this time, it was an action by the governor and by the leaders there, Don, to say, in Ohio, we're not going to have these as essential services.
Yes, Jordan, you're absolutely right. And we have a strong pro-life record. They've been going on for year after year. And what's interesting about this case is they filed a supplemental complaint to the heartbeat bill. And so they tried to get into a judge who had already issued a temporary restraining order on that case and joined it into this. And so they're continuing to say that abortion services, despite 2,900 cases of coronavirus and 81 deaths, that abortion is going to take precedent over saving lives.
Don, this is Jay. You just, and by the way, we're really proud of what you're doing. And again, as Jordan said, another ACLJ alumnus in government, which is just great. Don, let me ask you this. You just mentioned the numbers in Ohio. Ohio expected those numbers. It's expected those numbers are grow. What does the plans look like? And it doesn't sound like you're anywhere near the apex or the highest point yet.
No, we initially saw at the beginning of April, and now it's looking like we've projected out at least 2 weeks or 4 weeks. And we have updates every day, and it seems like the cases are growing. But what we've been doing successfully is keeping people apart and keeping COVID from spreading rapidly by, limiting mass gatherings. And we started that early in March. So that's one thing that may be pushing the tide later out, so we don't have so we can build the healthcare infrastructure that we need to get supplies and.
Which was the next question I was going to ask you, and that is, we had Jared Moskowitz on from Florida the other day, and he was on last night on Tucker Carlson's program, yep. And that is getting supplies, PPE, equipment. How does that look in Ohio right now?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because I was just on the phone with someone who earlier this week said, hey, I've got a friend in Texas, and they've got the ability to get masks to Ohio. So within an hour, this company called Zazz, we were in, and they had that information to the lieutenant governor and the governor, and they're working to procure supplies. So we don't have enough stuff yet, but it's sort of the resiliency of the free enterprise system in America to say, okay, you need ventilators. People are going to start producing them. One of the senators is a pharmacist. He just started making hand sanitizer and giving it to the emergency responders. You've got people sewing masks. So it's really just these are American heroes who are stepping up and doing the right thing and not playing any sort of politics. They're just trying to save people's lives.
You know, and Ohio, too, was an area of the country that is, again, I mean, you got a lot of working people in Ohio, Don, and right now a lot of businesses that aren't able to operate, some that would be considered essential, but some, like you said, who are kind of changing their business model for what is good. What is this, like, state legislature looking to do? If this is more like long-term and this virus is going to be a longer battle than when you thought the initial peak was, we see what the federal government's doing. What do you think you'll be seeing at the state level, or what's already happening at the state level?
So we just had emergency legislation last week that focused on a lot of the running of government and, closing down schools and testing and things like that. And so, we had 457,000 unemployment claims in the last 2 weeks. That's 100,000 more. 100,000 more that was entirely all of last year. So, trying to coincide with what the federal government's doing with the Paycheck Protection and what President Trump is doing to, you know, provide help to small businesses so people aren't laying off their employees and trying to ride this out through that time period. But I expect that in June we will have some sort of economic-focused legislation because
at the
we have
state
the requirement.
So this is interesting for people because most, as you said, most of this now is coming from the federal level. But I want you to repeat that again, Don, that those unemployment numbers, because Ohio, this was an area of a country roaring back with jobs, right? I mean, so under these last few years, jobs were coming back, they're roaring back. But tell people now what you've experienced in the last week in Ohio is more unemployment than in the entire year before?
Yes, 100,000 more unemployment applications in the last 2 weeks than all of last year.
Than all of last year. And up almost 500,000 people you're talking about in Ohio.
Yes, and you know what we've done over the last 8 years is cut spending, cut taxes, and we've seen growth through that rather than raising taxes. So we had Ohio on the right track, and this is just that's why I anticipate some sort of economic thing because we have to balance our budget, so we can't just do deficit spending about it. And when people aren't working, it doesn't do any good to raise the income tax.
No,
because you can't collect any revenue from that.
No. So again, I think you know this will be interesting to see Than as well because there's the federal government approach, and then what Don's talking about too. Is states not just making the closing decisions, which is their initial decisions they made, but next up is there'll be state kind of economic decisions to make as well as this goes on. And you can hear from Don, and this is in Ohio, another huge state with you know many big cities, industrial cities too, for the country, that they're planning for the long term here. This is not like that. This is done in 2 months.
Yeah, and they should be, Jordan. And I think this is particularly important when it comes to the unemployment insurance portion of this, because remember, most of that is state administered. The program now expands it from 26 weeks to 39 weeks and puts $600 a week on top of what the state is doing. But look, I mean, this goes back to the conversation we had earlier. This is the immediate response. And just a few weeks from now, both the states and the federal government are going to have to decide where we're at in this and what is necessary next.
All right. And Don, I mean, for those of you who do work at the, you know, you work at the state level. And so is it kind of like an all hands on deck? You were talking about here you're the deputy legal counsel for the Ohio Senate. You're working on procurement of masks. So is that kind of the situation it is now for government for you all that are working?
Yes, it absolutely is. It's moving as fast as it possibly can and changing the, you know, typically you have competitive bidding and things like that. But it sounds like from these things we're getting better prices now without having to do that because people are saying, hey, how can we help? We have these supplies. Let's get them on a 747. We'll get them over to wherever they're being produced and sent back to Ohio.
Well, that is great to hear. And Don, I just appreciate you all these different state officials who have taken their time out this week. And you got busy, a lot of work to do to update us because we talk so much about the federal approach. We hear from you, though. We hear from all of our callers calling from states around the country to let you kind of an insight into what states are doing. And we've even seen a change this week from when we had Jared on from Florida talking about the 3M issue and the president enacting the presidential the declaration
on the DPA.
Yeah, the DPA on 3M. So,
right.
Don, I really appreciate it. Don Parsons, deputy legal counsel for the Ohio Senate. Don, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, guys.
All right, folks. Again,
it's very gratifying, by the way. And JB and Jared and Don, who all have friends, all went to either college or law school together, and be able to do the kind of work everybody's doing. That's great.
Yep. And to give you that kind of update, too, about what's happening at the state level. And so you hear that Ohio's looking at economic issues, their next legislative state package. We'll talk to you next time. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.